it's wild, like how much, like, I don't know. I feel like time just flies by and it gets faster and faster.
What didn't fly by was this week's movie. That's right, movie the podcast. We're back.
The longest it's hour still, 40.
It's still Jennifer Lopez or whatever it is.
And, I want to apologize to the room for this idea.
The worst month.
This is the worst. We were debating before the show started. Is this our worst month? And it's got to be in the conversation. I
can't imagine a worse month. Alec, there's some kind of like, I don't know what that is. There's
like
some
a baby Darth Vader situation.
Yeah.
You got a baby snake over there hissing?
Oh, shit. You got a snake? You got a baby anaconda over there?
You got a snake, as John Voight would say?
Don't call it a baby. It's perfectly acceptable for being white.
John Voight, y'all can't see this at home, but John Voight, his method acting in this movie is just to scowl through the entire thing.
And just take out, like, just the, like, whatever brown face version of an accent.
It's a weird cross between, like, Al Pacino in Scarface and just Christopher Walken with no accent.
Yeah. There is a lot of Walken in it. Yeah, I agree.
There's one scene specifically where he's like, maybe not, or where it's like, hey, we got to go get him. And he's like, not so much this time, but it sounds exactly like Walken.
He based his whole accent, which is baffling, on Inigo Montoya.
Oh my god! Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
According to IMDb,
the more you know.
His character is supposed to have been from like Panama. Is that what he says in the movie?
Paraguay.
Yeah.
But no one knows what they sound like.
And you know, what's his name from Scarface? Famously from Paraguay. Jesus Christ. That's almost as funny as Vince McMahon never seeing Scarface and thinking that the Razor Ramon character was like completely original from whole cloth. It's just
wow.
Oh, you didn't know that, Sean?
No, I mean I did, but like it's not something I think about that often.
Well, I think about Vince McMahon constantly.
I think about Razor Ramon giving the Intercontinental title to some AIDS kids on Jerry Springer. Like,
oh, that's
remember when the world was weird but fun sometimes? I mean, it's always bad, but like.
Yeah, now it just sucks. It's weird and it's boring and it sucks. Speaking of things that are weird, boring, and sucks, Anaconda this week, folks.
Yeah, we watched Anaconda.
A movie. I have a question before we start, though.
Go ahead, Sean.
If somebody had picked the cell, would this have pulled this out of the fucking tailspin of a month since then?
I think so.
Because I haven't seen it in
forever. I think the cell, I still have, like, at least some sort of warm. But then again, if you told me, like, I feel like last week I was like, hell yeah, Anaconda. I thought I remember liking this movie.
I was just about to say that. Like, I feel like Anaconda is a movie that in the public consciousness is held as like a pretty good movie.
Anaconda?
Yeah.
Good?
That was at least fun. Like,
well,
like
I mean, I never seen it before, but I thought that people generally like this movie.
I would have thought it was in like
theater with me.
The Twister kind of canon, you know what I mean, of that sort of movie, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Oh god, I am so ready for that Twister sequel to be out of theater. So I'm so tired of seeing that fucking trailer. Twins, we got twins, like, oh, shut the fuck up. Ugh. Anyway, what did you all watch this week? I'm gonna start with a wild card, Sean. I never saw.
Oh my god. Oh, I watched three movies.
Oh,
and
my
TV.
God.
Hey,
you guys fucked
holy
up.
Holy shit.
Two of the movies I'd already seen before, and we've all seen, so I'll get through them real quick. I also watched the fourth episode of The Boys. Still really good.
The season's going well.
The discourse is fucking insane. So I went back and started watching the first season again, and, like, it's been there the whole time. Like, it's never been subtle about anything, so I'm not really sure why all of a sudden. Anyway. I watched Upgrade.
People are idiots. There's no, like, media literacy is just, like, fucking over, man. Like, it's so bad. I mean,
they had a literal Nazi in the second season, like an actual Nazi.
And her name was Stormfront. It's not subtle. Her name was fucking Stormfront. I mean, like, it's funny because it's so on the nose, right? Like,
yeah. A shout out to Elizabeth Shue in the first season, though, because she still looks great. But,
oh, yeah.
I watched Upgrade. That movie still kicks a pile of ass. I love it.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. Why don't they make more $8 million movies? Or I think that was like $3 million. And I think it was the last movie we all saw in this theater together.
What I want to know is what happened to fucking, like, that little offshoot of Blumhouse or whatever, because I don't think they made anything else under that, moniker.
It's not Blumhouse Tilt? It was Tilt,
yeah. Have they done
anything else under
Blumhouse? They made other films. Yeah.
They probably decided they were making too much money making Sleepaway Ouija Camp, The Witch Trials or whatever, fucking movies are, so they didn't bother with it. I also watch Psycho Goreman. That movie's still cool as hell.
Yeah,
I love it a whole bunch. It's still funny. All the jokes still work. The thing I watched that I hadn't seen already is my short list for number one movie of the year and maybe forever. Is I saw the TV Glow.
Yeah, I love that movie. I'm glad it's a movie you liked it.
That really got to me emotionally in a way that movies don't typically. Because TJ, you're the only one that's seen it, right? On Earth.
it feels that way sometimes.
It's a movie that's broadly like a gender allegory or a trans allegory, but also could be taken as totally literal, like the events in there, like I kind of like swing that way, you know what I mean, that it's actually happening. There's a meta show within the movie, which normally I don't really care for. And it's like a cross between The Adventures of Pete and Fire Walk With Me. It's hard to describe, but it's in that weird,
It's also very Buffy the Buffy, Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
It's in that weird kind of Are You Afraid of the Dark era of Nickelodeon? I don't want
to replicated perfectly.
Oh, perfect.
When they show the
aspect ratio, the fucking effects, the way it looks. I don't know, man. This movie's really fucking good.
I like it a lot. I loved it. To me, it's top running for movie of the year. I think it was amazing.
It's funny because it's very specifically, I guess, again, a trans non-binary allegory, but it can also just broadly be an allegory for being unfulfilled.
Yeah, I felt like there's a lot of connective tissue between this and something I'm thinking about Ending Things, where it's about a guy, about someone that kind of lived their entire lives unfulfilled, and what that does to a person. You know what I mean? There's a part in the movie where they talk about how life just keeps going by, and years go by, and it's just you're not really aware of it because you're not really invested. It's kind of that hit me. That hit me very hard.
It also made me think a little bit of what's the video game in Rick and Morty? The Gary wife. Dave.
It was Dave to Steve or something like that.
But there's also there's a scene where one of the characters can't breathe, and I felt I couldn't breathe while I was watching it. Very good performance from the kid from Detective Pikachu?
Oh, that's who that was?
Yeah.
I was not familiar with that actor. I was who is that?
And then
the other one was the young version of Ted in the last Bill and Ted movie. Is Ted Keanu Reeves or is that Bill? Yeah. Ted.
Yeah.
Ted. Well, the young version. You remember how there was there was a gender swapped Bill and Ted in the last Bill and Ted?
They were kids. I don't think that counts as a gender swap. Those are their children.
I that movie is washed over me. I can't remember. Were they actually their children? I couldn't remember. I thought they were from another dimension or something. I couldn't remember. But the other actor was the Ted.
It just made me think of it because you said something. I was in a court in a very serious hearing the other day, and the judge goes, to misquote a movie, we need to try to be excellent to each other. I would be like, sir, be serious.
You're an officer of the court.
I'm sir. No, but I saw the TV Glow is a fantastic movie. It's a movie I don't know that I can recommend to everybody. It's a little Lynch. It's a little Yorgos Lanthimos. It's a little Ladybird, it's kind of a weird.
It's a little Cronenberg too.
Yeah, it's a little Cronenberg. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I loved it. TJ and I think we're texting about it, and I know we talk about this kind of a lot. It's I'm so bored with just regular movies. Just try something different, and I'll be more receptive to it. And they're trying a lot, and I really liked it. So that was me.
I think if you get chance, watch that director's other movie.
We're all going to the World's Fair.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. It's not as good as I saw the TV Glow, but it hits a lot of the same emotional beats.
Yeah. Malick.
Oh, I watched several things.
Oh my god.
A few have been talked about before. We're the Millers is very funny.
Oh yeah, classic, modern classic.
Yeah, Casey and all of them are very popular actors now. Pretty much everybody in that movie. My Cousin Vinny, just classic. Movie.
Fucking love that movie.
That movie is just so fucking good. From beginning to end, everybody's
Marissa Tomei's so hot.
Yeah, she is. Joe Pesci, like,
so hot.
I love that he's like, he's not a typical Joe Pesci character.
Yeah, he's a boob.
He's a dipshit, but he knows he's a dipshit. He's trying to do better, but
He's not a dipshit. He's really smart. He's just not smart in the ways he needs to be a lawyer.
Well, he's a dipshit in the sense that he won't accept help and he tries to do everything himself.
Yeah,
he's pigheaded. No clue that's what true.
He's doing. He's one of those typical, like, and there's a bunch of them down here, though. You can't get no good pizza outside of New York kind of guys.
Yeah, they all end up down that way.
That sucks. I thought I could get away from them.
But that movie is, that movie's tremendous.
But you thought you could get away from New Yorkers by moving to Florida?
Yeah.
Isn't that where they all end up? That's
apparently.
Like a meme.
That's the final stage of New York. Is
well, this part of Florida isn't so much like the Boca Raton, like Jew Florida. This is like more Dukes of Hazzard Florida.
Fair enough. watch the unbearable weight of massive talent.
Have Hell you seen that before, Alec?
I have not. It's really fun.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. It's Nick Cage at his perfect, like, lampooning himself, but also acting like a psychopath.
When he's in his thing with his child psychologist or whatever, and the kid's like, he wanted me to watch The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. He's like, it's a masterpiece. It's a silent film masterpiece.
I do love that. I love when I love the Paddington 2 joke through line through the whole movie.
So good.
Or the little Pedro Pascal's character. He's like naming his favorite. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, Scarface, and Paddington 2.
Paddington 2. His fucking like shrine to Nick Cage is like secret shrine. Oh my god. So funny. This is the actor, so Mandy. Mandy is a masterpiece.
This is the rabbit from Con Air, and this is the necklace from The Rock. Perfect dimensions.
Oh, what a great movie!
Yeah, that movie's spectacular. Pedro Pascal is an absolute fucking gem.
Oh, he rocks!
Like he's like one of the best actors. Stop. Like period. He's so good.
Actually, his inclusion in Fantastic Four has gotten me pretty excited. Like I don't know. I'm a little. Little worried about upcoming Marvel films, but I feel like, you know, him in Fantastic Four is a pretty good cast.
I'm less worried than I was because they kind of pumped the brakes on everything. It seems like they're resetting for quality again.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's because, like, nothing's coming out this year except Deadpool and Wolverine, which I'm very excited for. Yeah. But, like, that looks like a lot of fun. And, like, that might put, like, a squash to some of this multiverse shit because they're just going to lampoon the shit out of it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Like, I don't care if they have some multiverse stuff, but everything doesn't need to be.
Every movie now is multiverse this, multiverse that. But
I guess they delayed Blade again.
Yeah, that's just, that movie's just not gonna happen.
Did you know Nick Pizzolatto wrote a draft of that, or he wrote a treatment for it at some point, of the 12 scripts that they've had?
Well, when they first announced it, he was attached to it, so I was like, oh, cool, vampire fiction
is and they got a script, and they're like, sir, this is word for word, just Bram Stoker's Dracula. And he's like, I'm out of here. Thanks for the money, stupid.
It was near dark, yeah.
I watched the newest Bad Boys movie.
Oh, how was that?
Which is weird, because I don't know that I've seen any of the Bad Boys movies. I may have seen
first
two. Wild. So we had to go to a funeral in Boston last week. And we were in there literally for less than 24 hours. and we had a few hours to kill before we could check into the hotel. And the only movie playing was Bad Boys.
Was Patriots Day.
Whatever the new Bad Boys is called. Bad Boys, whatever.
Your life, isn't it?
Maybe.
Wasn't that the last one?
Ride or Die.
The last one might have been For Life. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you can watch all those movies as like a cipher. All four of them.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Bad Boys 4, it's perfectly fine. It's got some really good action sequences. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bad Boys oeuvre.
I think I've seen one and two.
I remember liking one quite a bit, actually.
So Martin Lawrence's kid in the movies dates a guy named Reggie. And I know in one of the movies they like grill him, the two of them grill him. He's as like a high school student.
Oh, I remember that in trailers from, I think, the last one.
So he's still around. He ends up marrying her, and he's like a Navy SEAL in this one. And he has this like 8-minute action sequence that is absolutely incredible. And it's like, where the fuck did this come from? And this like movie just of big explosions and stupid stunts and stuff. And he's doing all this like precise gun work and knife work, and just he murks like 15 to 20 guys in like 8 minutes. And it's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what is happening here? Like, where did this come from in this movie?
Supposedly Joe Carnahan was supposed to make this one. I don't know whatever happened with but yeah.
Like, the movie's not
bad. That would have got me to watch it.
I fell asleep at a few points, but some of the action sequences at other points are phenomenal. Like, it's a perfectly fine way to pass a day, pass a few hours.
I fell asleep some.
Like a TNT hungover Sunday movie.
Your hotel and you can't get in yet. The movie theater was literally in TD Garden earlier in the day from where they were playing a finals game, so the whole area was a fucking nightmare.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And the last movie I watched was a movie called Quiz Lady, which has Awkwafina and Sandra Oh. I think it might be a Hulu original because it was all Hulu.
I saw the shit for it on Hulu, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny at a lot of parts, and had some heart to it, too. These two girls, Sandra Oh and Awkwafina, are sisters, and their mother is a degenerate gambler who loses all her money and moves to Macau. And after she moves, gang members come looking for her, and they're like, she's gone. So they kidnap Awkwafina's dog in order to get the 80 grand back that she owes the gang members. And she's kind of touched a little bit. And she knows, like, she watches basically Jeopardy every day.
An expression answers, we don't use enough.
She knows answers to all the questions on Jeopardy, like all the time.
Rosie Perez and White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, but she's not a fully functioning human like Rosie Perez was in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't feel like you could be a fully functioning human and know all those answers like that. Like, you have to have... Anyway. But it's pretty fun. She gets on the show. Will Ferrell's the host. He's fun. He's, like, doing the Alex Trebek thing. The two of them, Sandra Oh and Awkwafina, have really good chemistry. They're both kind of played against type. Awkwafina's the, like... prim and proper, straight-laced, nerdy genius. And Sandra Oh is like the out there wild child sister who's kind of crazy. We're just trying to come back and help save their dog. It's funny, their dog's like 20 years old and he just looks fucking miserable the whole time. But like the guys who kidnap him, like take really good care of him. Their plan, they initially thought their plan was to kidnap him and kill him if they didn't get the money. But really, their plan was to kidnap him and make him love them so much that he wouldn't want to go back. Which is worse, somehow.
Yeah. Did Sandra Oh ever get eyebrows, or what's the deal with that?
I mean, she has eyebrows, so I don't know. Did they get a fake? I didn't realize that was a point of contention.
I feel like she didn't have eyebrows for years. I don't know if it was contentious. I just didn't care for it.
But I thought it was really good.
You had enough.
It was really fun. I enjoyed it. TJ. Oh God, we're gonna hear about Bike Riders now.
It was really good. I watched three things. I watched the newest Jeff Nichols movie, The Bike Riders. It's excellent. Like, it's really good. It's I mean, it's just another great movie from Jeff Nichols. Like, the guy just makes good movies. Like, I don't in the like I feel like he just knows how to write like really human stories, and the movie is just that. Like, he doesn't really, it's not really even, you know, it's not really even about the motorcycle gang so much as it is about kind of unrealistic like relationships, and about how things, even if you start things with the best intention, like once something like kind of gets out of your hands and becomes many people's thing, that, you know what I mean, you don't really have control over it anymore, and it's just, it's not really yours. It becomes other people's, and that'll probably mutate and pervert, because people are generally awful. I really liked it. I thought it was great. I think that the worst thing about it is that they all have those goddamn Chicago accents, and it's very hard to take seriously those accents. I mean,
is Tom Hardy really leaning into his?
You know, the funny thing is he's the only one Austin Butler is just doing Austin Butler's voice. The one that really leans into it is Jamie Coomer, who kind of, she's, what else is she? She was in Ready Player One, actually. That's,
oh, hell yeah.
I think that's what she was from. No, was it Ready Player One? I don't know. There was some, she was like the hot chick in one of the, like, no, she was in, what was that? What was not Ready Player One? What was the Ryan Reynolds one where he was a free guy?
Oh, Free Guy.
Remember the hot chicken Free Guy? That was her.
Great name too.
Yeah. It's hilarious. But I mean, she's really great, but she's also kind of like the narrator of the movie in a way. Like, basically, this movie is based off of a book from the 60s where this photographer rode with this motorcycle gang for like, I don't know, like 5 years. And he took a bunch of pictures, and he basically did like an oral history book. And the movie is basically him getting like the last bits for his book. So like Jamie Coomer kind of acts as like a narrator, and the movie's structured almost like episodically. But it's really good, and it's really heartfelt. By the end of the movie, like there's like a very great, like, emotional payoff that they set up early in the film. And I feel like when it finally comes full circle, it's very satisfying. I don't know. It's great. Full of great performances. It's shot great. I loved it. I thought it was great. It's definitely going to, you know, be in the end of the year list for me. I mean, it's solid. It's one of those things where, like, I wasn't like over the moon about it, but it's just every part of it. Like, if you go to like pick something apart, it's like everything is just rock solid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really have any complaints. So
she played Rey's mother in The Rise of Skywalker. That's probably what you remember her from.
Oh, God. I don't remember. Did they even show Ray's parents in that? I don't even remember.
Apparently. Apparently.
Nice. I watched this movie on Tubi called Lowlifes. Not to be confused with that cool-ass crime movie with the luchador, Lowlife.
Hell yeah.
That movie's great. Lowlifes? Lowlifes? It's hard to say. A Tubi original? Shockingly enough, it's great. It's really good. It's a great, like, kind of subversion of like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre formula. Like, it's kind of it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but if like the visitors were the killers, like the family is, they look innocent, but they're actually the cannibalistic murderers, and they go to trick the like simple townsfolk in the country. It's excellent. I thought it was great. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. It's gory. It's funny. It's like well paced. It's full of tension. It's actually acted really well by a bunch of, like, you know, nobodies. This is a Tubi movie. They probably spent like $5 million on this thing. It looks fantastic. It's shot well. It's great. I was totally taken aback by how great it was. Cause like, you hear something that's a Tubi original, you're like, what the hell could that even be? It was very good.
I'm gonna send you guys an article about Tubi that Stacy sent me that is super interesting about the future of streaming and where they're
please do.
Why Tubi is set to like start to take over.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I read it and I thought it was really
The only problem with watching it on Tubi is it's got ads, and if you've ever watched like Hulu that has ads, they decide to put the ads just in like random places during the movie, and it does kind of kill your I don't know, it breaks immersion, I guess. But
if it's a Tubi original, that's their fault.
Yeah, they have control of that.
If they knew it was going to be on an ad supported service, they should have been able to make the cuts in appropriate spots.
I'm sure that it's probably like a lot of the quote unquote like Netflix originals. It's probably something that they bought, and like they probably didn't finance the movie. I don't know. Either way,
or they don't give a shit. They're like, we have to hit this ad every whatever 17 minutes, and it doesn't really make a fuck.
I need to hear about Burger King's Philly melt.
The
ads weren't that bad, but still, like, I just don't want to watch ads while I'm watching a movie. Like, it just sucks. I hope that one of the like Shout Factories or one of those cut places puts this out like as a physical release, because I will buy it. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, so check out Low Life's really solid fun horror movie. And then lastly, I watched RoboCop 2 with Gogs, but I was like half asleep, very high and drunk. So it doesn't really count, but it's still a lot of fun. And that's all I watched. Gogs.
I also watched RoboCop 2.
Oh, shit.
Sitting there asleep, high, drunk, and asleep.
I was, but I was not. I was less of all three. I actually am a little concerned about this viewing of RoboCop 2.
You're not going to say it's better than the first RoboCop, are you?
No, actually. Okay. I've always sort of held it in the same sort of vein as RoboCop 1's the better movie, RoboCop 2's more fun.
Right.
I might actually, like, I love RoboCop 2, but I think RoboCop 1's more fun. I think it's better in all three phases. Like,
Is it one of those things when you talk about RoboCop 2, it's like, oh, they got the little kid that's swearing that's a drug dealer. Yeah. It's just like, it's more fun to talk about because it's just so goofy.
It's batshit insane, but it's actually kind of like clunky at parts. And like, they're trying to do a lot. They're trying to do like PC RoboCop, but they only keep that on for like 10 minutes.
That part of the movie lasts for like a scene. I remember that lasting way longer, but it literally lasts for one scene. And then he grinds himself, and then he's fine.
Right. I want to see the documentary about the production of RoboCop 2, because I heard it was a fucking disaster.
Right. Like, yeah. The search for RoboCop 2, like with like the robots killing themselves and stuff. Like, that's that's fun to talk about, but that scene doesn't take up as much space as it should. There's like way too much of Kane being simultaneously. There's too much of Kane being a human. But there's also, like, they need to just move to that conceit earlier. He needs to become RoboCop 2 faster.
I told you this while we were watching it, but I remember, in my memory, I thought that he turned into the robot, like, early in the movie. Like, I didn't realize he, like, stuck around in human form. Like, really, the nuke-eating robot only lasts for, like, a couple of minutes.
It's like the barely half of the third act.
Also,
like,
what an amazing idea, though. A fucking robot that's addicted to drugs. That is like such a like.
Just like, please give me the drugs. Like, so those great. Are like the best. So I watched RoboCop 2. Oh, I watched two things. So then the other thing I watched, I went back and I watched Guillermo del Toro cross Mira Sorvino cross Charles Rock Dutton. Mimic, if you guys remember Mimic when it came out, and like I think in this, me and TJ were talking about this, like it's like in the same era as like Relic and Species Splice, like all those Phantoms. Movies came out like Phantoms.
Phantoms. I never saw any of those movies. I saw
Species.
I don't think I saw
Splice.
I did see Splice. Yeah,
Splice was way.
Splice isn't though. Bad.
Yeah. Splice was not.
That's Adrian Brody, right?
Yeah, but I feel like Splice was way after like Mimic and all those other movies.
Like Species, that was in like 95. Like Kinstrich.
Henstrich.
It's Henstrich, yeah. Kinstrich is the other one.
Alright, well anyway.
R.I.P. whichever one died.
Mimic is a better movie than I remembered it being. It's like like Guillermo del Toro is like, let's kill some kids because like lots of kids die in that movie.
Finally,
if you haven't, if you've never seen Mimic, if you don't recall Mimic, it is about there's this disease that's killing the kids of New York, spread by cockroaches, and then Mira Sorvino genetically engineers like a super bug that's like a cross between like a termite and a something else. I forget what praying mantis, and it's like supposed to go down to the sewers and just wipe out all the cockroaches in New York City, and it does so successfully, and everybody's all fucking slap happy about it, and then 3 years later you find out that these things have grown into full sized person bug people that can sort of like with their carapace mimic a human face and walk around on two legs.
Carapace? I thought you said therapist.
Yeah, no. The therapist carapace is a good, we're going to work that into something.
Therapist, I like that.
So, and then they just start like eating folk, and it's gruesome, and like Guillermo del Toro's like having a fun time with it. Like it's, you know, it's not great, but it's better than I remember. Like I was like, this is fun. I fuck with it. It's gory. Like people are getting like fucking annihilated in this movie and like eaten alive, and it's fucking gross. But you know, good time killing big old roaches in the basement of Queens. So
what else has Mira Sorvino done? I feel like she's like 19.
She did Romeo and Michelle. Michelle's whatever, take on
High School Reunion. Yeah,
High School Reunion or whatever it's called. Like that's it. Like I was talking to TJ about this. I was like, for some reason in my mind in the 90s, Mira Sorvino was like a big thing, but then she just disappeared.
Are you getting her crossed up with Mina Savari? Are you giving her double credit?
No. I'm but you're right. There's the same, right? But there's
didn't she get nominated for like an Academy Award, I thought, or something?
So she was in Summer of Sam. Did, yeah. She was in The Replacement Killers.
Hell yeah. I don't think it was that.
Young Fat.
Allegedly, she got an
Academy Award for The Replacement Killers.
She was just in The Sound of Freedom, actually.
IMDb, just
That's how well her career is going. She was in The Sound of Freedom.
Yeah,
I wonder.
Like, also, like unusually titles. Hot scientist is a trope that we don't have anymore.
That was an early 2000s. That was a new metal horror movie trope.
Also, and James Bond.
Yeah,
and Denise Richards is a nuclear physicist.
Christmas Jones or whatever her name was.
Yeah, I thought Christmas only came once a year.
Nah. Yeah,
she won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for Woody Allen's Mighty Aphrodite.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie.
Why I knew that.
Oh, she was an uncredited factory worker in The Stuff, a movie that I love.
Hell yeah.
But she's got like 109 acting credits, but like I've not seen like, most
looking
all of
at
this.
These things that she's written, it looks like she's in a lot of TV shows for like an episode. And it looks like she's in a lot of like Christian movies.
Oh no!
Oh, so we can kind of tell where her politics have landed.
Yeah. Well, that or she's just like needs work,
broke. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, fair. But anyway, and then at TJ's behest, I watched some Smiling Friends. Pretty good.
God. Such a great
pretty
show.
Nuts.
that show is
like
fucking
if you like absurdism as much as we like absurdism, like if you want like later Aqua Teen, but then like. Beyond how bizarre that shit is, then check out Smiley Friends.
It's so good. And it's every episode's 10 minutes long. So it's it's great.
Anyway, that's everything I watched except for Anaconda, which I had to watch contractually.
Yeah, we all did.
Is this the worst acted movie we watched that's not Canadian?
It is.
Everybody is
everybody's way out there. Like fucking John Voight fucking phoned this in with the, I can't even.
Well, phoned it in and somehow worked incredibly hard.
Yeah, no. People of the village, I can't even do it. It's fucking awful.
Yo, I could go over there and blow it up. I can't even. Now I'm
fucking. No one can do like, it. It's like a weird. Right. It's just you're wandering around.
Now you're Guy Lepuy or whatever.
Saying he's supposed to base it on Inigo Montoya, I'm just trying to be like. Give my I can't fucking do it. Doesn't matter. None of this fucking matters. So why? Anyway,
can he just be a white guy? Like, there are white people in South America. They have a rich history tracing all the way back to 1948 or so.
That's what I was thinking as I was watching it. I was like, why did they decide to put him in? But basically,
also,
like,
I don't understand
brown face.
His end game in that movie doesn't make a lick of sense.
But before we start, can I fix this whole plot in 10 seconds?
Please.
They work for National Geographic or something, right? Like something like that.
Yeah.
Why can't they just also be looking for this mythical giant snake? Why the whole fucking runaround about them discovering the lost tribe and all that other bullshit? Like,
what? I'm glad you brought that up because I was like kind of I could have sworn that that was the plot of the movie, that they were looking for the snake. And then they're like, no, we're making a documentary about the people in Crystal Skull that lives in the caves. Remember that part of the movie? It was so, I agree with you completely. I was like, wait, they're not even looking for the snake? Like, this is fucking stupid. Like,
yeah, they got bamboozled. So anyway, let's talk about this movie.
It's a better movie than this.
Hoodwinked or bamboozled?
Bamboozled.
Hell yeah.
Hoodwinked is a movie?
Yeah, it's a fucking it's a Temu.com fucking Pixar movie about the big bad wolf, I think.
Oh shit. I had no idea.
Yeah, like Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Dip shit.
Sorry, buddy.
Starring Anne Hathaway and Glenn Close.
I'll have to check that one out.
Ooh, that animation looks suspect.
I fuck with Bamboozled, though. I do legit think that's a good movie.
What, Bamboozled?
Yeah.
I would need to watch it. I watched it at a point in my life that I did not understand.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be even better now, but I'm also like a Spike Lee apologist, so.
Oh, yeah, it's a Spike Lee movie, too. So.
Yeah. Well, you like The Five Bloods. You are racist.
I thought The Five Bloods was outstanding.
I don't like him because I'm racist.
Anyway.
And I like he did the Black Klansman. That was him, right?
That
movie was excellent.
You liked He Got Game, did you not?
I
remember liking it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Anyway. Well, anyway, let's talk about this, a not Spike Lee film. Let's talk about Anaconda. Jennifer Lopez's Anaconda.
Frank Welker's Anaconda.
It's a less interesting matter.
Can we get that out of the way?
The snake made a noise. Dude, I was like, oh, so there funny. It is.
So funny, though, the whole time. It's like why is it, like, shrieking? Like, why? Snakes don't talk. Like, what the fuck? As bad as this movie was, like, every time the snake screamed or John Voight started talking, it was very funny. Like, it's terrible, but it got me.
I'm watching it all, like, ready to blow my brains out. The old lady walks, she's like, is the snake just attracted to the blood? And I'm like, I don't know, it's just evil.
Right, the snake is just evil. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's just doing its job, just being a snake.
Doing its snake work.
It's not its fault. True. I mean, technically, he's the victim of a home invasion. So, think of it that way. Anyway, the movie opens with poor Danny Trejo getting ADR'd because we can't have Danny Trejo using his actual voice to go, oh, no. Like,
no, so, if anybody's going to do a Latino accent here, it's going to be John Voight.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. It was funny to me that, like, you couldn't have, like, we can't have any Hispanic people in this movie. Like, come on, don't be crazy.
So Danny Trejo, he's on a boat, and the boat's getting debotified, and he's like, well, that's enough of that. And he, like, crawls up onto the mizzen mast and blows his brains out. And that's how the movie opens. Then you find out that Mask got a grant to go find people that God never intended to be found. And so he's getting a team together. And that team consists of the month's patron saint, Jennifer Lopez, Iced Cube, the greater of the two Wilsons, not F. Murray.
Give me Luke every day. Like, you're crazy.
Oh, you're a Luke. You're a Luke.
Oh, yeah, Owens? I'm Team Luke, like 100%. Yeah.
I'm put me down. Put me down, Team Luke as well.
Alec.
Are we talking the best Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, Luke's a better actor, but Owens is way more charming.
Mm. That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
I like him also, both.
Can since we're all like fans of media and production in one way or another, sure. What the fuck film crew has two sound people but one camera person?
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's very confusing to me.
Because wait, so what was everyone's role? Ice Cube was cameraman.
Yeah,
and Jennifer Love was a producer. Owen Wilson was sound.
Sound. The other chick,
Abraham, was narrator. Right? Huh?
Eric Stoltz was also a producer.
Yeah, he was a producer slash scientist, maybe.
But he was like the scientist leading the charge. Then F. Murray Abraham's narrator, and then the hot redhead was assist AP.
But also, no, she's like, sound also.
This is also speaking of Mask. Or what Eric Stoltz, his character. Like, yeah, no, this is me watching this movie with 2024 eyes, but like, he is 100% a producer of this movie that sought out Jennifer Lopez so he could fuck her. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he's already fucked her.
They were already an article.
Is that right?
Something.
I didn't catch. Yes, in the beginning, the way the movie like framed itself, I didn't think that they were a couple.
They were already a thing.
Oh, okay.
But they're like, Eric Stoltz is acting too good, so we have to take him out of the movie for most of it.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, they find themselves on a barge with this guy named Mateo, who looks like everybody but is no one.
I thought
guy looked really familiar.
The man without a face from Game of Thrones, but it's not.
What was that X-Man in the newer ones, Forget Me Not, where like the minute you turn away, you forget all about him? He's like one of those kind of guys.
He is in, looking at his acting credits, he was in Mulholland Drive.
What?
He was in an episode of Twin Peaks.
Wait a minute.
I'm looking, yeah. He was in City of Angels.
He was in Crow City of Angels. I think he was one of the bad crew in that one.
Sean, I know exactly where he was in Mulholland Drive. Do you remember the scene where the hitman is talking to that guy and getting
like
that
it's outside
book.
The hotel.
No, in the hotel, hitman accidentally shoots that fat woman and
So
the guy he kills in the beginning of that scene, that's Mateo. That's guy. Yeah, I mean you know it's so fucking random, but that's the same guy.
So anywho, they all get on the boat they take the boat down river and they're out here looking for the Shimmer Shammers or whatever the hell the name of the clan is that's out there in the woods. And they're going downriver and then they hear the accented calls for help from a stranded John Voight whose boat has smashed into trees and roots or some stuff.
Hey, I got a rope tangled on my propeller.
Yeah. So John Voight gets brought aboard and he talks about I used to be a priest or something, and then
you know you're getting it. I think you're starting to
you're getting
together.
There. You are getting
there. It's getting there. It's because like, there's a lot of he'll do Latin later. But now I've hunted the snick. I lost it again. So he comes on board and he's spitting his gibberish. Gross. He's talking about the shimmery people and also all of the gods of wherever river they're on. I wasn't paying a ton of attention.
They saved my life. I take it to them.
Yeah. So that was fucking Cajun as shit. That was fucking.
So John Boyd is a Cajun guy.
Under siege. That was.
No, you sounded like Jean-Claude Van Damme in that Louisiana.
Hard target. My mother took one.
That so also now, has a hilarious snake. Remember the one who grabs
it and snatches it? Anyway.
And they shoot it with a shotgun.
That's right.
So they get jammed up on like river grass or some such. And they're like, all right, well, they need to get this boat back up and running. So Eric Stoltz goes a diving to go get the propeller free. And this, I did lose a little bit on this one. I'm not sure how John Voight got a wasp down his throat, but allegedly he cops to this later.
Okay, I'm really glad that I wasn't the only one confused by this, because like it shot off from the back the back of his head, and it's like very confused, because all of a sudden he's like, and it's like, what is going on? It was very confusing.
They pull out like 7 inches of like fucking like gross out of this kid's neck, and they're like, all right, we've got to put him below deck, and we'll go find oil.
Now you're getting better.
So then they put him below deck, and then
hang on, pause.
Go ahead.
He gives him a fucking Bic Pen tracheotomy, but then he just takes it out and he's fine. Like, how does that work exactly?
I don't think that's how tracheotomies work. I'm not sure how this is how anything works, but
yeah, we can't do none of this.
Yeah, we're the Department of Labor. I forget. It happens somewhere around here where Mateo gets. Oh, at some point, I was like, Owen Wilson and the redheaded lady sneak off to the mainland to go get loose, and they're both
recording sound, and that's it for some reason.
Right, so they're gonna go record their sex sounds, and then they almost get Robert Baratheon'd, but they end up the pig gets killed, and then Ice Cube is offended that he's gonna have a meal with Hog in it. Because they bring it aboard and turn it into, I guess, ribs. So anyway, at some point, Mateo gets destroyed. I forget at what point. And then maybe they are brought into the awareness of the snake's existence. I'm not sure. At some point, John Voight says, hey, Owen Wilson, you want to make money? And Owen Wilson's like, yeah, God, I'd love to. And then so he's like,
wow.
You
got to help me blow up this dam and get a snake. Okay, so then they have like,
hey, can I pause you real quick before you get through this? Sure. Because I became thoroughly unglued at this point. So there's a scene where Ice Cube, I think, who produced the soundtrack for this movie also, is listening to a radio. The radio is playing the song Faux Life by Mac 10 and Ice Cube. So am I to understand
he's on the
song? Yes. So am I to understand that Ice Cube canonically exists in this world and he is somebody else, or that this cameraman is an exact genetic duplicate of Ice Cube down to the voice and everything?
I'm going to say it's the first one.
Okay,
that's very funny,
and it's I'm just because that seems to make the most sense, but it's still stupid. Okay. But it's self-promoting, and this movie sucks.
Yeah,
here, I got a list of everybody's jobs.
Okay,
Terry Flores is the director. That's J-Lo. Danny Rich is Ice Cube. He's the cameraman and her childhood friend. Denise Halberg, who is Carrie Wurr, is the production manager. Owen Wilson is sound engineer Gary Dixon. The narrator is fake Murray Abraham.
Fake Murray Abraham?
The anthropologist is Eric Stoltz. So we're pretty much right, except Denise Kalberg is a production manager, which I guess why you need a director and a production manager on like a six person
crew of three people.
It's not like you have like a full fledged like film set and stuff going on.
Is she doing catering? Like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, no one's in charge of lighting, but here we are. I guess we're just doing it all.
That's like the new world.
It's basically what's the fucking movie where Leonardo DiCaprio gets raped by a bear? It's that all over again.
Revenant.
Yeah. So anywho, they work their way down the river. They blow up the snake dam.
And it rains snakes. Bam.
Huh? It rains snakes. There's little, that little one bit of your finger. And then he fucking throws it up and whatever. It's just a baby. Go make a more snake. so then it goes and
do you want to share?
I'm starting in a gambit. So now it's like they're like, you're never gonna take us to go see the shish kebab tribe, and he's like, you're just here for the snake skins. And they're like, we can do this together. Like, let's make some money. I've already got Owen Wilson on my side. And Owen Wilson's like, yeah, I'm on his side. And then the snake erupts from the water and starts making trouble. And Carrie Wuer gets knocked off the boat. And then Owen Wilson goes to go save her because Owen Wilson's in love with her, allegedly. And then he becomes...
There's no allegedly. He tries to, like, as soon as he gets on the boat, he's like, is it just me or does the jungle make you want to fuck?
He's like, the jungle makes you horny.
Are snakes, is it anybody like a snake? We're not that autistic. Does anybody know anything about snakes? Because I feel like their eyesight is not their primary source of power.
What his name said is correct.
Blind. It's, like they're, yeah.
No, they do have predator heat receptors. Like that's
and what's
how
the point
they,
of blinding them with the spot lamp?
It's stupid, okay. Right? I'm talking about the Jaws scene, the fishing scene.
Yeah. Also, is there. Did this look good in 1997? It's hard to remember what things looked like then.
The effects in this movie are so bad.
The CGI is bad, but the practicals are somehow worse.
Yeah.
Because they're so limp. It's like they're just slapping them with noodles. It's bad.
Anyway, and this came out before or after Jurassic Park?
After.
Way after. So,
anyway, Carrie Wuer hits the water. Owen Wilson goes nice in after her, and he gets her out, but then he gets wrapped up and devoured. Then you see his body stretched out in the snake's body later, presumably just being digested over 1,000 years, much like that of a Sarlacc victim. So now they're kind of in for a penny, in for a pound. They got to figure out how they're going to get more gasoline, how they're going to find
they call Pitbull.
Yeah, they decide to they sort of given up on the tribe thing. Now it's a survival what have yous. Everyone's worried about the fact that Serrano has gone off the rails and he's
Pedro
like tells
Serrano.
Yeah, he's fuck it, I'll do it myself. he tells fake Murray Abraham to put his bags up in the guardhouse, and when that dude tries to step to him, he slaps him around like an absolute child. And then he goes and makes his house in the captain's place. And then that's when J-Lo is like, I know how I'll fix this with my sexuality. And she goes upstairs and, tries to, you know, make old boy, you know, feel them feelings down below. And meanwhile, Ice Cube just keeps flashing like the most pathetic dime store, like folding knife. Like, hey, I'm going to handle this. Like,
should I stab him now? Can I use the clamps? Yeah. No, hang on.
So they go upstairs and she's like, you know, doing her absolute best. And it's, you know, I'm sure for a guy who's been stuck in the jungle for 2 decades, this is pretty appealing. So that doesn't exactly work out because he calls it. He fucking whoops Ice Cube, but then fake Murray Abraham fucking clobbers him in the back of the head and they tie him up. They're like, all right, I'm the captain now. Let's figure this shit out. So then they just keep getting wedged in things. And J-Lo and Ice Cube and fake Murray Abraham have to de-winch themselves from something. And then Carrie Wuer is like, I'm going to get revenge for Owen Wilson. He's like, never look a person in the face when you kill him. And then she's like, all right.
Yeah.
And then
he turns into like John Jones or some shit. Fucking.
He sweeps the leg, he gives her the Xena on a top, and then sends her over the side. Then he cuts himself loose, and now he's the captain now yet again. More snake hunting ensues. They try and do a thing. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I missed the whole part where Owen Wilson got was when they were fishing for the snake off the back of the boat. Because that scene was stupid. That's the first time you hear Frank Welker enter the picture.
For those of you at home that may have not seen this movie, every time you see the snake screams. Like, it's like, ah! It makes this, like, shrieky sound. It's like, what the
fuck? Yeah, it's not a hiss. Like, it's a legit vocalization.
No, yeah,
like,
yeah. I say you let him go! So now everybody's like out in the water and running around and doing dumb shit, and F. Murray Abraham gets stuck behind a waterfall and he gets his face and ass eaten. And they're battling with John Voight, and like someone gets, there's tranquilizer darts and all sorts of nonsense happen.
Oh, hold on real quick. So John Voight gets hit with a tranquilizer dart, right? But then falls in the water, and Ice Cube goes, "Oh damn, the dart fell out." But like, if you hit him with the tranq, it doesn't matter. Like, you already,
I mean, unless
it's
like a slow release dart, which I've never like, heard of in the history of darts. Like, also, it's not like
this,
it's like,
was like, this thing's like an elephant tranquilizer, and yeah. John Voight like took it like a fucking champ because he's also fine.
The anaconda has a flashlight in its mouth or something, like very distracting when it opens its mouth.
Oh, yeah. In a few minutes, like, you get some weird like vor fiction going on because you get from the inside of the fucking snake.
Well, they end up like. So they're
not familiar with vor. I don't recommend.
Don't check it out.
You should Google it, though. Google it. Google vore, and turn off safe search. So they go. They end up in John Voight's. Let's just call it Jungle Factory, where he used to make boilers or something. Like, so
it's like yet another movie that ends in like a fucking smeltery or you know what I mean?
Right. Like, they're at the end of Terminator 2, but it's in the jungle. So they're like, I don't know what we're gonna do. The snakes figured us out, but then John Voight's back and he's de-neckified or he's de-darted or whatever, and he's gonna cover J-Lo and Ice Cube, our only two surviving protagonists, in monkey blood. And then he's going to use the trap from Return of the Jedi to Ewok the snakes. So all that's going pretty good. The snakes show up, they wrap up around J-Lo and Ice Cube, and then he springs the trap, and then the nets happen, but then the nets get loose. I forget how the nets get loose. And then the snake, instead of just eating the two people it has, like, well in hand, if a snake had hands, it, like, sees John Voight and then, I guess, is filled with revenge and then goes after him specifically.
The snake knows who has good intentions and who has bad intentions.
Right, the mood snake. So it eats John Voight, like, full-blown, just gobbles him down. Crush them a little bit. Then it later gives him the old huck to and show he gets fucking launched out of the snake's mouth, like sort of a quarter digested, but he's half enough digested. To wink.
Yeah.
He's got Jennifer the mule in RoboCop thing going.
Yeah. And then the snake is now pursuing the final girl through the jungle factory, and Ice Cube. She runs up a smokestack that has stairs in it somehow. I forget. I don't know, man. I was kind of out of it.
Has a ladder.
Yeah.
Then, I would have sworn that there's a line in this that Ice Cube said, "Brothers don't get eaten by snakes." But I think what happened was I was thinking of Tone Loc's line, "Brothers don't surf from Three Ninjas," and transposed it in my head.
I do remember Ice Cube calling the snake a bitch. Also,
yeah,
J-Lo was not the hero of this movie. That fucking Cube does everything. He pins the snake down, covers it in gasoline, lights it on fire, hits it with an axe, and then we get to watch a smokestack inexplicably explode just from fire, which is what its one job is to do, is transfer it. And then we watch a burning snake slowly enter the water, and then just in time, I guess Eric Stoltz, or maybe Eric Stoltz came back at this point.
Who knows?
He's back from the Wasp Dead, just in time to witness the very unhelpful tribespeople just sort of canoe out from the reeds. And it's like, hey, we're still gonna get our movie. Like, right. They didn't even think, like, for half a second, they weren't even like, maybe we shouldn't exploit these lost peoples. Maybe we should just go home.
Also, Eric Stoltz, aren't you supposed to be dead by now? Like, I thought we had to get you to the hospital.
Yeah. And then it just kind of ends.
It just ends. And then, like, it's like you get like a tasty 90s beat and a sunset. And then, you know, no more. I mean, the place is still littered with snakes. I think they've only, like, put the kibosh on.
Are they maybe all going to get to be that big?
I think genetics would argue yes.
Oh, wow.
right?
That's going to be a real problem. They're going to take up the whole lake.
Hence the sequels. I believe Anacondas.
Fair.
And Anaconda 3? How many?
Anacondas Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
That was correct.
They made two sequels to this movie? I didn't even know that.
How many movies did they make?
This movie tripled its budget.
Wow. There are four Anaconda movies. There's Anaconda.
Oh my God.
That's ridiculous. Anacondas, the Hunt for the Blood Orchid. Then there is Anaconda 3 Offspring. That's just an Offspring soundtrack. Yeah. It's just Dexter Holland. And then Anaconda 4 Trail of Blood that came out in 2009 and stars John Rhys Davies.
Oh my God. Anaconda. You're missing
one. You missed Streak to TV crossover with Lake Placid called Lake Placid versus Anaconda.
Oh my God.
Which apparently, according to Wikipedia, is canonically a crossover involving both film series starring Yancey Butler and Robert Englund.
My God.
Who the fuck is Yancey Butler?
And then it's followed by Lake Placid Legacy. Good Lord. Which came out in 2018.
That's just about the U.S. Olympic team.
And there's another Anaconda coming out this year, apparently. So great. So everything went full circle.
What was that month where we watched Shark Exorcist? Was that month worse than this?
Maybe.
God, I don't know. Maybe. It's so hard to
remember. But Shark Exorcist is only like 62 minutes long.
This movie was like an hour 29. It felt like it was 3 hours long.
It was interminably long. It was ridiculous.
It's fucking dragged.
All right. Do we want to do Five Knuckle Shuffles?
We're legally required to.
It's the law. Dogs.
Tattoo? Movie sucks. Everything about this movie sucks. Like, it's fun to goof on. This is another movie that would have done. It would have doubled its score if we were all in the same room.
We probably just would have been doing the accent the whole time.
But like, this is just like the plot is ludicrous. All the conceits are stupid. The more you think about it, the worse it gets. Like, it's poorly shot. It's poorly acted. I think this was Ice Cube's debut. Was this before Friday? Or is this after Friday?
Friday came out in 95.
Okay, so this is after Friday, so never mind. It's just trash. It is just, like, so dumb. And the special effects are awful. And every time the snake would, like, eat the guy's face first, then curl him up, it looked like a yo-yo. It was just fucking the rubber snakes looked worse than the digital snakes, and the digital snakes look like piss. Like, this movie sucks. So two, Sean.
It's a two also.
Yes.
I don't know, man. Like, it's not good. It's pretty bad. It's like, it's needlessly complicated for a movie about snake punching. And, like, it's set up like a 70s exploitation movie from Australia, but it doesn't have any of the charm or the gore or the tits that go along with it.
Nope.
Like this movie, if it had gore and tits, would be, like, quite a bit better. But 100%. It doesn't have that. It just has John Voight. That's not as good. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what was going on in 1997 or whenever this came out, that people were like, hell yeah, let's go see Anaconda again. Because if it made that much money, people saw it more than once.
That's fucking wild.
How much did it make? What was its
salary? Well, he said it tripled its budget. So his budget was $9.
And it had a budget of 45 mil. Where'd that go? And made 137.
Holy shit.
And that's like $1 billion in now money.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon.
This movie came out in the same year as Men in Black for a comparison of special effects.
Oh my God.
Wow.
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 Wow. Those effects are trash. Wow.
Wow. No, this movie sucks dicks. Like, I don't know. Like, what was the point of it or anything? Do something, movie. It doesn't do shit. And then when it does shit, it's the worst shit. And then it ends.
Talk to him.
Alec.
I'm going to give her three. It was an hour and 29 minutes, which at least it's a bad movie, but it didn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically it still did, but.
Right.
Yes, movie is, I mean, it's bad, but it's like world renowned bad. Like, this is one of the movies people talk about. They talk about like the worst movies. They talk about like Anaconda and shit like this. How it tripled its budget. How its budget was $45 million. What did they spend it on? I have no idea. Although I guess,
Nick,
I guess some of those sets are probably, that boat set and some of those jungle sets are probably expensive as shit. But nobody, John Voight, John Voight probably made as much money as the rest of the cast combined.
Yeah.
Cause the only other person of note at that point would have been Eric Stoltz. Cause this is right on the beginning of all the other ones' acting careers.
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy who directed this also directed Tom Berenger's Sniper.
Oh, and
Sylvester Stallone's The Specialist, which like.
Ooh, I remember that one.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
Like, I don't know. I remember Sniper not being bad.
Sniper was pretty cool, if I remember that correctly.
It's Tom Berenger and Billy Zane. Corkin and Zane. God damn, there's like 8 Sniper movies. But yeah, this movie
should be like Sniper Origins, it's just Elias.
This movie is...
Oh, that barn.
Anaconda is bad. But at least Jennifer Lopez is only one of them, so we didn't have to watch the rest of the Anacondas. Yeah, right,
yeah. And the most disappointing ass for me in a while. Not because it's bad on its own, but in retrospect, not great.
Yeah.
Certainly not worth the hype from back in the day.
No.
Who's left?
Me.
TJ.
Yeah.
I think that's just me. It's a 2 for me, dog. It sucks, but I'm struggling to think of reasons why it's not a 0, but it's just not. I don't know. Again, it's short. It's short. The parts that are funny, like how bad it is, are pretty funny. Like, we didn't even talk about this scene where the snake gets introduced by killing a panther. And it's like the panther is like bug-eyed. It's like, oh, no.
It looks like the little dummy panther from Sex Panther.
Yeah, it does. It totally does.
From Anchorman.
I mean, that part's funny. Anytime John Voight opens his mouth, it's funny. And they cut to him, and every time he's just got that scowl on his face, he's just like...
It's, and he's so like fucking... squinting his eyes just a little bit.
Then again, I guess that is kind of... That is the Tony Montoya thing, right? Because he was always... Like
Tony Montana or Nego Montoya, which one?
Both. He Yeah. It's a chimera. Chimera.
What was his name in Scarface? Tony Montana.
Montana.
Oh. Who's?
I mean, not for nothing. That's also like a horrendous accent that he's doing in that movie. Like, give him any slack.
Well, and they also like browned him up in that movie, which is even worse.
Oh yeah, I'll postulate though that his Puerto Rican, New Yorican accent in Carlito's Way is even worse than his fucking Cuban accent in Scarface.
But yeah, this movie's awful. But like, I don't know. Like Jennifer Lopez looks good. Cary Wuer looks really good. Cary Wuer's ass is better than Jennifer Lopez's ass.
I'll sign up.
That was kind of weird. I was like, that's kind of strange. She looked great. I forgot all about her. She used to be on like MTV and stuff back in the day. She dated Henry Rollins, which, ouch. That had to be fun. But yeah, this movie is awful, and I'm glad this month is over. It's a 2 for me, dog. So yeah.
Hey,
so
Cary Wuer was in Goggs' favorite movie, Hellraiser Deader.
No shit. What is July? Do we have a July? I don't remember.
Actually, legally speaking, we still have a June.
We have another week?
30th is the last day of June is next Sunday. Right,
can we go off topic? Can we do a grab bag?
We won't be recording Sunday because we'll be at the baseball game.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
So we can jump right to July, but I don't have a July either.
All right. Let's make it July.
We had some yesterday, didn't we, guys? What was it?
We had something stupid for July.
Yeah, a bunch of stupid ones. Yeah.
It was like Juliet Lewis.
Oof.
What about 4th of
July? If we're going to do that, then I'd rather do July and more. You got much better movies.
Yeah.
July and more? Oh, I love that.
And.
Yeah, July and more great. It is. Yeah.
July and more. Yeah, okay. Shit. Has anybody got a Julianne Moore on deck?
Well, we could watch the Hannibal movie or whatever.
Oh, why of all of them you pick that?
I'm just trying to think things that she's in.
The one with her and Mark Ruffalo? That's not bad, but I wouldn't pick it. But it's not a bad
one. About
the kids are all right.
The kids are all right.
Man, is she in that? What's that? No. She's not in Children of Man, is she?
Oh, I got it.
She is.
He's in that.
Yeah,
I'm picking that. That's mine.
Hell yeah.
I've been meaning to like revisit that movie. So that's
you didn't like that movie. We watched that in the theater together. You didn't like it. I liked it.
I remember not liking it, but I'd like
to. I remember you specifically hating that tracking shot with the blood on the camera.
Yes. Well, I always hate that.
She was in Evolution, which we already watched.
What's that movie she's in where like everybody goes blind? I remember that one was pretty good. I think it's called Blindness. I honestly
Sometimes it's a clever title.
You're right. It is called Blindness.
Oh.
A city is ravaged by an epidemic of instant white blindness.
Ooh, I know what I'm picking.
But also has Mark Ruffalo.
Ooh, I may pick Magnolia.
I'm picking 1997's The Lost World Jurassic Park.
Oh, no.
God. Yeah. All right, well, who's going first?
I can just do Children of Men first.
Yeah. Children of Men first. All right.
Oh shit! She's in the Ladies Man.
She's in the Kingsman sequel. That's right.
I was looking at that.
She's good in that.
I love that movie. That's over 2 hours. That's like almost 2.5 hours though.
Yeah.
All right. So Children of Man next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. She's also in fucking Nick Cage's Next. Do we watch Next?
I've seen it. One. It's bad.
It's real bad. Yeah. That's a Philip K. Dick short story. Adaptation.
Yeah, and I think Knowing came out like the same day, and it's like the same movie possibly. It's the
same movie, yeah.
All right, well, next time I talk to you, boys, I will see you.
Yeah,
and before you go, can we...